Welcome to Leaked, a program about food issues and questions around the community. Join Barry as he chews up the facts and spills the beans on what's happening in the secret life of food.
Hi guys, welcome back to Leaked. My name is Barry, and this week we talk about the Chinese New Year celebrations. So I hope you guys are having a good Valentine's Day. Last week we were talking about Valentine's Day and also the chocolate and stuff. And in this, I was originally going to talk about Valentine's just today, but because it's just like Chinese celebration is in the weekend, I felt like it's kind of a bit more appropriate and it seems like a good time to talk about different cultures and how food is shared and how legends and different stories are basically passed down from generations. So unlike, it's not really unlike. In Asia, basically there's two types of New Year's. So there's the 1st of January is definitely the first day of the New Year for like everyone. But there's also a Chinese New Year. So that's basically like a different calendar. So the Chinese in the past follow the lunar calendar. So, well, they still kind of do. In my family, we kind of like look at the lunar calendar as well. And we kind of like in different celebrations and also like basically it tells us like what we're supposed to experience, like the different seasons and like which day is going to be the hottest of the year and which day is the coldest. So that's kind of like a bit different from the modern calendar that we use. The modern calendar kind of uses the solar, basically using the sun, and basically just like seeing how we rotate the sun. And that's basically a year where we kind of, the Asian, basically like way of like looking at the dates, it's kind of using the lunar, so using the moon. Depending on like who you're talking to, it's kind of like different people have, basically like different systems have like pros and cons. But Chinese New Year is definitely celebration in the first of, basically the first day of that year. So it's not just the Chinese that kind of celebrate it. A lot of people in Korea celebrate it, in Vietnam, and in Southeast Asia. So basically like areas where it's predominantly Chinese, people do kind of like celebrate it, and it's kind of really fun if you have a chance. I would definitely recommend going back to Asia during this time because you could definitely see how people are celebrating it. It's kind of like a different festival, and everyone just gets so into it, and it's great. There's fireworks, a lot of food, and generally everyone just have a really good time. And there's a lot of, so it's just like, it's definitely a lot of red. Like, you will definitely see, it's like, usually we dress the house red, and it's just, like, the noises and the food and the smell of everything. So, basically, to compare what Chinese New Year is like, I think, like, to the Americans, it's kind of more like Thanksgiving, where everyone needs to go back home and have a dinner. So that's, like, kind of, like, one of the components in Chinese New Year, is that everyone needs to go back home. And, basically, it's just to say, just to know what's happening on everyone's behalf. And yet it's kind of like Christmas here in New Zealand, where basically everyone goes back home, have a dinner, and just chill. So everyone generally goes back home to celebrate Chinese New Year. I remember when I was in Dunedin, I kind of went back to home, even though I was down at Dunedin during summer school. And it's just like a general thing that everyone does. It's one of the largest migrations. I'm pretty sure you guys have heard this on the news. There will be a lot of people going into train stations and basically just trying to go home. But before we get on about talk about Chinese New Year and also how we celebrate it, I think we should kind of talk about the how it kind of began. So like basically like Valentine's Day, kind of like have a little backstory. So the backstory starts with a monster, which is like kind of like interesting. You would think that Chinese New Year, it's like generally like a very happy thing. But it all started from a monster that kind of looks like a lion, have a lion's mane and also a pointed horn. And the name is called Nian. So that's called, that's the meaning of year in Chinese. So every New Year's Eve in the past, so a long, long time ago, there would be a monster that basically comes out of its cave or comes out from the sea, and it would actually go around villages and terrorize and basically destroy villages. It sometimes eat people or sometimes it eat basically livestock. Basically, it just ruins everything within that village area. And it becomes a predator and prey upon men and also animals. And then it just basically became routine that in New Year's Eve, people just run away. People would run to the mountains and then basically to hide. And then one day, well, this is just like one of the years that turned out, a man was stumbling upon a village in New Year's Eve, and he was just wanting a place to stay. And then this is the time when villagers, the village people were trying to hide. So they go up to the mountain and hide every year. And he was just asking one of the villagers that was trying to leave, why, can I please stay at your place for one night? And the villager was just shocked. Why aren't you afraid? And why, I think you should definitely come with us. And then he just said, no, I'm very happy to just stay here. And then basically the villagers just left and just went to the mountain and hide. And then it was just like a strange thing. He just lay in the house, and then basically Nian popped out. So Nian was just going around the village, and he just thought it was just really strange. The village is very quiet, there's no one, and then he saw a house with a lot of bright light. As he walked closer, he could see that there was this red colour. It was really intense. It was just beaming out of this house. And as he got even more closer, he heard loud noises, and it's just like these firecrackers, and then it just scared the Nian monster and just ran away. And then from then on, it's just like everyone just like did this in New Year's. Basically, it's just like you dressed a house in red that would basically put these, I think it's talisman, I'm not too sure, but these kind of like these things to cover the house in red. And then it's just like usually it's celebrated with firecrackers and making sure that it's just like it's as loud as possible. So I guess that's how the tradition kind of like started. So that was the story that was passed on. And then now, of course, it's kind of like slightly different, and people just celebrate it with just eating a lot of food and also like passing different, basically little gifts to each other. Well, I'm going to play you this little song, and I'll be back in a moment. Okay, cool. So that song is Havana. So, like, how people celebrate New Year's is generally like a day or two. But in, for the Chinese, it's kind of like it's a kind of like a month celebration. So every day, it's basically got like different types of meaning, and also on different days, we kind of need to do different stuff. So let's just look at the different days and what it really means. So 7 days before Chinese New Year, people generally leave some food next to the stove because they believe that there's a stove god that basically protects our home and protects basically different family members. And they basically leave it there so they could bribe the stove god and basically don't say anything bad about them when he goes back to heaven and reports on the family. So that's kind of like a funny story. So I remember when I was little, my mom, I don't think she would ever leave some food next to the stovetop, but she does say, do not ever argue, or basically like, I don't know, any shouting or have any arguments next to the stove on the 7th day before Chinese New Year. I remember my grandma definitely does do a lot of preparations with that, but it was kind of like really funny how she does it. And then 3 days before Chinese New Year, generally people do a really big clean. So I have no idea why, but everyone's just like, when it's the 28th day of the, basically the 12th month, people does a big clean and just basically make sure that everything is just sorted out. So it's kind of spring cleaning before spring happens. And then on the day before Chinese New Year, that's kind of like one of the main events of the year. So everyone comes back for a family dinner. Usually people from around the world would definitely go back home and just have a family dinner because it's kind of a tradition and it's kind of like a part of a reunion. And basically it's just like everyone needs to attend or else like they will get in trouble. I remember one of the years I didn't go back and my mum was really not happy. This year, it seems like my brother couldn't come back, so it couldn't come to Wellington. So he would just be stuck in Christchurch because he found a new job. So it's going to be a bit different that I couldn't really see Sydney popping for dinner, but I'm pretty sure he will be flying in soon. So in the first day of Chinese New Year, people basically wear new clothes because it's a new start of year and basically have really nice greetings to the elderly. The first thing when I wake up for Chinese New Year, I'll usually go to my parents and then basically have some Chinese New Year greetings and then basically just saying for good health, for prosperity and everything good and nice. And then you see your family relatives as well and then basically you just say all these things and then it's just like kind of like a fresh start and it's just like it's kind of really nice. And then on day two of the Chinese New Year, people have a really big feast. So it's kind of like a different, kind of a bit strange. On the first day of Chinese New Year, it's kind of like more family time. There isn't much activity going on apart from just seeing relatives and basically passing gifts. And then on the second day, we have this really big feast. So that's kind of like commencing the start of a new year. And this is like kind of, there's all variety of different dishes. And I remember my mum telling me my granddad, he would get really angry if you can't attend this dinner because it's kind of like commencing of a new year and hopefully like it's good for business. I'm pretty sure it's more of a business thing than anything else. And then on day three of Chinese New Year, it's also the day called Red Mouth. So this is traditionally not a good day to visit friends or family. And it's apparently said that it brings bad luck if you go and see your friends and family on this day. Because like there's a saying if you go and see your friends and family, you're more likely to argue for the rest of the year. So that's kind of a bit different and quite interesting. I'm gonna play you this short song and I'll be back soon.
Search for more. We put everything aside with our futures on the line. I could say it's 'cause of you. You showed the dream we walked into. I saw the danger on the way. But with you it seemed okay. Cause when the evening comes, we're like fire in the rain. When the night's begun, our desire is the pain. And the dreams we share, they are never gonna fade. It's because of love we're standing here today. We're like fire in the rain. And our every scar just by looking at the stars. In my mirror I saw you, everything I need to see. The reflection set me free. Cause when the evening comes, we're like fire in the rain. When the night's begun, our desire is the pain. And the dreams we share, they are never gonna fade. It's because of love we're standing here today. We're like fire in the rain. 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 When the evening comes, we're like fire in the rain. When the night's begun, our desire is the pain. When the evening comes, we're like fire in the rain. When the night's begun, our desire feels the pain. In the dreams we share, they are never gonna fade. It's because of love we're standing here today. We're like fire in the rain.
So that song called Fire in the Rain. And now, instead of like talking about the traditions and also like the history of Chinese New Year, about the different days, one of the things that we kind of do a bit different, the Chinese people, instead of giving physical gifts, we kind of give red envelopes or red pockets. So what's the story behind this? So in Chinese New Year, one of the things that we kind of do unique is that we don't buy gifts. We give red pockets to people that's younger than us. Usually it's married people or people with children that gives red pockets to the single people, which is like me. And then it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like wishing them well. And it's just like, basically it's just they put in a few dollars. Sometimes people put in like 20 New Zealand dollars, and then it's just basically like kind of just like symbolic, I guess. There's a whole story behind it, but it's just like I don't think we have enough time to get through it. But let's talk about the different types of food. So in Chinese New Year, there's like different types of food, but instead of talking about dishes, let's just talk about the different types of snacks. So it's just like, if you go to a Chinese family in Chinese New Year, usually there's like a platter of food. So, in the box, there's candy, there's peanuts, there's sunflower seeds, and then also there's dates. And you like just go through like the different types of food and see like what it symbolizes. So for the red dates, it's kind of like a symbolism of wealth and prosperity, because like the word date, it's kind of like having like the same sound as like the word early. So people usually eat it, and then it's it usually is eaten during basically like really good festivals. It's you could see it in weddings, you could see it in housewarming parties, and also like baby celebration. It generally kind of just meaning early. So it's being early is kind of good. And then, like, another food that you see in the platter of the platter is peanuts. And this is kind of, like, a symbolic thing of meaning longevity. So For the Chinese, peanuts means there's a symbolism of longevity. That's why people tend to quite like to see peanuts. But usually they are not salted, and it's usually unshelved. So you have to kind of crack open them by yourself, which is like kind of fun, and it's really nice eating them. And then this is what I've read from the internet, but I don't think that this is what we practice. But remember, China's really big. So it's kind of like the same size as Europe. So basically different people have different stuff to do. So this is not in the platter of the box that you will see. But I guess like for some Chinese, they would eat this glutinous rice dumpling. I think that translation is really bad. I think it's more of a glutinous rice ball. So you sometimes see this like at different festivals. So if you go back to Hong Kong or in China during May, you'll definitely see this a lot. So this glutinous rice dumpling are made with sticky rice and other ingredients such as bean, peanut, and also Chinese cashew nuts and pork wrapped in bamboo leaves. Eating glutinous rice symbolizes a bumper grain harvest in the coming year. Basically, it's just like, I don't know, it's just like, it's always about togetherness. It's just like, because sticky rice is all about like they're sticking together. So I guess it's kind of like another like symbolic thing, I guess. And you could eat it steamed, you could eat it cold. It's really hard when it's cold. So what people would do is usually like steam it. And then after they steamed it or basically boiled it, they'll just peel off the bamboo leaves. You can't really eat that because it's really hard. You peel it off, and then you just eat it with sugar. Well, that's what the Cantonese people do. Because, like, I eat it with some caster sugar, and then some people just eat it with soy sauce. It's kind of like different regions kind of, like, have different customs. And then, like, some people would fry it and then make it brown and crispy. My family tend to just boil it, take off the leaf, and then eat it with caster sugar. It's kind of like this really nice contrast because it's kind of like the sweet and savouriness of it. So now we're back to another type of food that you'll definitely see in Chinese New Year, which is called a New Year cake. This cake is really different. So there's like a savoury side and also a sweet side. We'll talk about the sweet side first. So it's kind of like this brown colour, and it's called Niangao. It's kind of like meaning it's like a year higher. So cake in Chinese, it kind of like sounds like higher. So it's kind of like, it's really nice because you kind of want to go higher. And when you're studying, you kind of want to have a higher grade. When you're in working, you kind of want to have a higher position. So generally, it's just like, it's symbolic for people to go to the next step, I guess. And people sometimes would fry it. And then you add an egg. So that's a sweet one. And it's really nice. And also there's a savory one. It's kind of a bit white and it's really sticky. I think it's made from sticky rice. And you kind of like stir fry it. Depending on how you make it. The Chinese, I think some people make it in soup. And then the Koreans kind of stir fry it. You'll definitely see it quite a lot in the Korean culture. And also there's sunflower seeds. And then this is symbolic. So this is back to the Chinese platter that's like red and circle. It's basically meaning you're going to have lots of sons and also grandsons. So seeds, it's basically like that. The word is kind of like similar to children. So basically it's like the more seeds you have, the more children. And it's like a lot of Chinese do quite like sunflower seeds. It's kind of like the popcorn to them. And to kill time, people tend to open sunflower seeds and stuff. But that's the general food. I'm going to play you this short song and I'll be back in a moment.
There's something about your aura that makes me come in for her. There's something about your looks, the baby really got me hooked. I want to get close to ya. I'm sensing feels between me and ya. We got to set those emotions free. Them good vibes, you give me them good vibes. Now I can't get you out of my mind.
I'm having this desire that keeps me wanna try to make your body wanna do the things only I would do for ya, to make you forget what lies ahead, what anyone else has or has ever said. We gotta set those emotions free.
Welcome back. So today we're talking about Chinese New Year. So we talked about the legend of it, how it started, and then we discussed about how we celebrate it in different days, and then we talked some stuff about the food. There's a lot of stuff. You should definitely like check it out. And I forgot to advertise, like, there's different regions have different types of celebrations. So in Auckland, I think it's celebrating in March, usually. I think it's like 1st or 2nd of March. I'm not too sure, but double check. And it's in the domain, where in Wellington it's celebrated usually around it's like usually around the waterfront, and it's usually really fun. My name is Barry, and thank you for listening to Leet.
Thank you for listening to Leet, a program about food news around the community. If you missed this program or want to hear it again, check out planetaudio.org.nz/leet. That's L-E-E-K-E-D.